You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about entering and experiencing the manifested presence of God. You see, some of us feel as though we are kept away from the presence of God. You might feel as though there is a blockage, a barrier, a wall, if you will, that keeps you from entering, experiencing, and enjoying God's presence. These walls could be built of self-doubt. These walls could be built of overthinking. But whatever it is that is keeping you out of the presence of God, whatever it is that is keeping you from experiencing the fullness of His glory, this liberating truth that I'm about to share with you will completely set you free, and you'll go from struggling to enter into the presence to simply walking right in. In the Old Testament, the people of God, the Israelites, would on their behalf have a high priest offer to God sacrifices for their sins. This individual was anointed and appointed to enter into what was called the Holy of Holies. In the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle, there was a certain structure that was reflective of what God gave to Moses. Moses actually saw the structure in heaven. So the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, these are actual replicas of a structure that exists in the heavenly realm. Now, when God gave this to Moses, He gave him very specific instructions on how to build this. To simplify, and there is a lot to this, in fact, I could do a whole series on the tabernacle. But I want to just simplify this concept for you briefly. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. Now, those different aspects of the tabernacle served different purposes. But the most important place in that structure was the Holy of Holies. This is where the glory of God physically dwelt with the people. Now, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we read this: "The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, who died after they entered the Lord's presence and burned the wrong kind of fire before him. By the way, Nadab and Abihu were destroyed because they offered strange fire before the Lord. They offered fire that was man-made instead of just stewarding the fire that came from heaven." Verse 2, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. If he does, he will die.'" In other words, he can't just enter in and out at will. There's a process to this. "For the ark's cover," the place of atonement, "is there." And read this, this is amazing. "And I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover." Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17 says, "No one else is allowed inside the tabernacle when Aaron enters it for the purification ceremony in the most holy place. No one may enter until he comes out again after purifying himself, his family, and all the congregation of Israel, making them right with the Lord." So Aaron, or later other high priests, would serve as a mediator between the people of Israel and God. And they would enter into the most holy place, and they would go about the appropriate procedures that God had described in the book of Leviticus to bring about the forgiveness of sins. But this was only temporary. You notice here that there's a structure. You notice here that there is a system to entering into the presence of God in this time. In fact, God took this so seriously that people who didn't reverence His presence in the Old Testament were killed. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19 says, "But the Lord killed 70 men from Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. And the people mourned greatly because of what the Lord had done." Now think about this. Just by looking at it, looking into it, they were destroyed. "Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it." In other words, the ark was almost knocked over. He reaches out his hand to to catch it. Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Imagine this. Everyone is worshiping, they're celebrating, they're enjoying the presence of God, when all of a sudden a man drops dead before them, simply because he was irreverent toward God's presence. That's how serious this was. God was very strict with who could enter and who could not. When Moses would go to the mountaintop, the people would stay at the bottom, trembling in fear. Moses would talk to God on that mountain, and he had fellowship with him, but others had to stay behind. Now, I want you to consider just how serious of a situation this was. This was the very glory of God. However, we know that this is an Old Testament idea. This is an Old Testament concept about how the people approach the presence of God. Now, before the Holy of Holies was a curtain or a veil. No one was allowed to go behind that curtain without first going through the system, without first going through the proper procedures. It was a very meticulous set of rules that they had to follow. Now, that veil, that curtain, represented the separation between God and man. Only certain people could enter, only the mediator could do certain things. But in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 38, and this is a crucifixion narrative, we see something very powerful. Let's read it. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing nearby heard this, they said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with vinegar. He put it on a reed and offered it to Jesus to drink. Wait, he said, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. Verse 37, but Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Verse 38, this is so powerful. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I want you to think about the symbolism behind here. When Jesus breathed his last, when Jesus, the perfect spotless lamb, the sacrifice once and for all time, breathed his last, that veil was torn from top to bottom. In other words, where there were once procedures, where there was once a system, where there were once rules and regulations, now there was nothing but an open space. The presence of God available to all, open to anyone who would enter. Jesus became that mediator. This is why the scripture is so powerful when it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus, our high priest, has entered into heaven. The high priest that had come before him only entered into the physical structure that was a reflection of that which was in heaven. But Jesus himself has entered the heavenly realm as our high priest. Verse 15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us think about this. Let's stop here for a second. I want you to think about this. Back then, they had to come in trembling. Back then, they had to come in by system and procedure. Back then, if somebody was a little bit out of line, they would die. Back then, if somebody made an error, they would fall dead before the presence of God. There was terror. There was this veil that was blocking the way. The people could not just come freely. But now the scripture says this, because of what Jesus did, because of our new high priest, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Do you realize, believer, that the presence of God is available to you? What is this powerful truth that I want to share with you? What is it that we learn from putting these scriptures together? What is the message to us today? It is quite simple. To those of you who hunger and thirst after the presence of God, to those of you who long to enter into the depths of God's glory, there is an opening. There is an availability of God's glory, of God's very presence. This is why I think that desperation is so overrated. Now, I know some of you won't like this. Especially in worship movements, we're taught to be desperate. We're taught to beg. Now, I understand that there is a certain pursuit that is necessary when seeking the presence of God, but this has nothing to do with whether or not we receive the presence of God. Why? Because the presence of God already dwells in you. In the seeking, my flesh dies. And when my flesh dies, all of the clutter is out of the way. In other words, it's not that God isn't speaking. It's that we can't hear when we're in the flesh. It's not that God's presence isn't there. It's that we can't experience it when we're in the flesh. We can't appreciate it. We can't acknowledge it. We can't be aware of it when we're in the flesh. But because of what Jesus has done, because he's forgiven our sins, because he's opened the way, the presence of God becomes available to you and I. You and I do not have to beg. You and I do not have to exercise some specific posture. We do not have to repeat incantations. We do not have to say specific prayers. We simply come boldly in faith and enter. Imagine how much time in prayer you would save if instead of begging God to hear you, you simply believed that he already did. We can enter freely into the presence of God. You don't need to be filled with self-doubt. You don't need to wonder whether or not he's with you. Just know that the way has already been made. So what is the key? The key is simple faith. The key is if instead of coming and saying, I wonder if God is with me today, instead of wondering, I wonder if God hears me. I wonder if God listens to my worship. I wonder if God can see me. Instead of wondering it, believe it. Instead of doubting, have faith. And just know that you can enter boldly because of what Jesus has done. Perhaps you've made a mistake. Perhaps you've sinned and you think that God doesn't want to talk to you. You think God wants nothing to do with you. If you will repent and put your faith in what Jesus did, you can enter right in. If you will simply stop doubting, if you will simply stop looking at yourself, if you will simply cause your mind through your faith to relax, you can enter right in. You don't need to beg. You don't need to work yourself into a frenzy. You don't need to hype your emotions. You simply come before him and know that you're in. And when you by faith acknowledge his presence, then you experience his presence. This simple truth is faith. This simple truth is coming boldly. Accept it already. The way has already been made. The veil has already been torn. The price has been paid. The rituals have been followed. It's done. It's finished. You're in. Knowing this is the truth that will set you free. Knowing this is the truth that will allow you to simply walk into the presence of God. You don't have to push your way in. You just have to walk your way in. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.